Good to be with you here on a Saturday night in Erie, Pennsylvania. I was trying to think the last time I was here, it might be a couple years. Now, that isn't Pastor Tim's fault. He's invited me many, many times to come, but more and more my schedule is getting busy. Just this past week, I preached 12 times in 4 days in California, and then I got on a flight and arrived this morning, what was it, like midnight, then finally got to bed at 1 o'clock, got up, and here I am preaching again. So honored and thrilled to be with you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And just thank you all for coming out. I see some of my Fredonia groupies are here from the Fredonia Church. Yes, thank you. You honor me. Praise the Lord. And just thrilled. We're all family. We got a job to do, and let's get it done. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'll jump right into it. You know, I pastor, but also God has given me a voice for the body of Christ. And very often God will talk to me of some things to emphasize, not just for the Fredonia Church or the family churches, but for wherever God may send me. And so there are several messages that he will give me and confirm it. And then I just kind of wait on him. And whenever I go, he will quicken me, or he'll tell me, you know, what message that I should deliver for that local body. And tonight it is one of those messages that God says, this is the message. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. You might, if you've come to our meetings past couple of years, you might have heard me share along this line, but it's so important that we be reminded of some things. You know, the Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing. It never comes by having heard. You know, I just wish that you just hear it once and you're set for life. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go to the gym and work out one day, and man, you are set for life. But really, you have to do it just about every day. Every day, every day, every day. And that's why it's important to hear something over and over again. And sometimes it's in the second, third, fourth, fifth time you hear it that the Spirit of God will quicken to your spirit and to illuminate something that will be very needful that you didn't hear the first time. And so I still see a great necessity and for what I'm about to teach you, and I believe it'll be a helping. And if it doesn't help you, at least I'll be preaching to myself, and you get to listen in on that. And so in the book of Revelation chapter 12, I'm reading on the King James Bible. Your Bible may read a little different, but the message is pretty much the same. And said this, "And there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out in earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and you that dwell therein. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down to you having great wrath, because he knoweth he has but a short time." And so that's a very interesting text to bring to you on a Saturday evening, but we're going to show you the principle in this text. First of all, let me say this. I truly believe what we just read there is for a future time. I believe what we read will happen in the tribulation, the 7 years of judgment on the earth. The church will be raptured before the tribulation. And so these verses, in that sense, don't apply to us. We will be watching from heaven. This will be going on the earth. So by no means, when Pastor Tim comes back, do you tell him, "Pastor Michael's telling us that we're living in the tribulation now"? I'm not doing that. But I do want to look at a principle here. Actually, there's several principles here, but I want to start focusing on one of them, that during the end, you know, Satan knows his end is coming to a close. It says he's cast out to the earth and having great wrath. And from that great wrath, he knows his time is short and he increases his activity. And that's the principle I want to look at. We know this. I'm sure Pastor Tim has shared this, if you follow my ministry, that before the coming of the Lord, you know, Jesus is coming. James chapter 5 says, before the Lord comes, that there will be a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost, an amazing outpouring. I've been bearing witness of this, been teaching on it, signs, miracles, wonders. The church will do greater acts, greater miracles than the early church did. And it says in James chapter 5 that Jesus wants to come back, and he's waiting, and he says he's waiting for the precious fruits of the earth. What is the precious fruit of the earth? That is for souls to come in, for people to be won. But it says this, he waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it till he received the early and latter rain. And so just like, you know, farming and harvesting, crops need rain to grow. And so what that scripture says before the coming Lord, that there has to be an outpouring of the Spirit, and that outpouring of the Spirit will cause the harvest to come in. And so Satan knows that. That's in the Bible. You know, people have been teaching on it. I've been proclaiming it. Prophets have been proclaiming it before the coming Lord. There's going to be a great outpouring. I truly believe we're the generations going to see it. Praise the Lord. And, you know, if you heard me teaching my Holy Ghost meetings, I believe there's some things that we're going to start walking in this year. And I'm just so thrilled. And so with that premise, the end is near. Jesus is coming soon. And there is going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost before Jesus comes. But here we read Satan's viewpoint. We see here that Satan doesn't just sit back and say, wow, Jesus is coming. There's a great outpouring of Spirit. I might as well just go hide in a corner somewhere. Doom and gloom is near and my end is here. No, it says that he will endeavor before the coming of the Lord to do as much as he can to cause damage to the kingdom of God. And so that's the principle that I want to look at here. That before the coming, there may be increased activities. And we know this is nothing new. Jesus said before the end comes, perilous times will come. You'll see this. You'll see wars. You'll see famines. You'll see pestilence. Those things are not given by God, but Satan's activity. So Jesus said, hey, you know, hearts of many will wax cold. So this is nothing new, but I'm just kind of bringing this principle up. That in the last days, you'll see more and more satanic activity. Now, turn with me in your Bibles, and we're going to just cover a few scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And as you turn there, let me speak to you about a vision I had. Now, I'm not only a pastor, but I operate in other offices, and one of those offices are given to visions and revelations. I don't ask for them. I don't pray for them. God gives them to me, and many times they're for the body of Christ. And this happened a few years ago. You know, I was just minding my own business, and all of a sudden, I had a vision, and I saw a horde of darkness coming against the body of Christ. And I saw that there was an attack coming against the body of Christ. And the word of the Lord came unto me. That's the audible voice of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said, many of my people won't be ready for this. And so from that time, I've endeavored to tell people about this and teach people how to offset this. Because you need to understand, even in when we read in the book of Revelation, when the end is there, it's said to rejoice, you know, the ye that dwell in the heavens, and that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So just know this, no matter what the devil tries, we win. We're washed in the blood. We have the word of faith in our mouth. We resist the devil and he flees from us. So no matter what, if hell had a lottery and picked your name, and all the devils and demons of hell ganged up on you, you'd still win. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So never are we a victim to Satan's whim. You know, he is like, remember the movie The Wizard of Oz? You know, when Dorothy went to go see the wizard. How many have never seen The Wizard of Oz? Okay, just about all of us, or are you afraid to raise your hand? You know, Dorothy went to go see the wizard, and the big wizard, I am the Wizard of Oz, and they were afraid, and how he would spew threats and, you know, try to impose how big and powerful he is. But what happened in the movie is a little Toto, you know, put the screen that was covering his view and pulled the veil of where the wizard was, and the wizard was just a small, powerless man. Couldn't do anything. And that's the devil. That's the devil. He may come and say, I'm going to huff, I'm going to puff, I'm going to try to blow your house down, this is going to happen, I'm going to take your children, you're going to die, God's not going to supply. And he will blow smoke, and you get with the word of God, revealed with the veil, that says, you have no part in me, I've been delivered out of power of darkness, I'm translating kingdom of his dear son, greater is he that is in me, I resist you. And not only do you go from me, you flee from me. The Bible, that word flee means he runs from you in terror. So when we talk about Satan, never do I want to put him on a pedestal. You know, where he belongs is right there, under your feet. But the Bible says this, that we should not be ignorant of his devices. What that simply means that we as Christians, even though we have authority over him, that we shouldn't be ignorant of how he operates. And that's what I want to look at. And if we know how he operates and how he tries to do his work, if we recognize that and simply put a stop to it, we win, we triumph, and we can enjoy life, and he can huff and puff all he wants, and he's just going to fall out in exhaustion as we enjoy victory and goodness and peace and blessing, and he's going to watch as we feast at the master's table. And so just another scripture concerning the increased activity, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. It says this, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times. And so it's talking about the last days. And here it says, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Again, just another scripture. Again, not to give a message of doom, gloom, and agony. Oh my, we're living in dark times. Well, the world may be dark, but when you got a light, that no matter how dark the world is, your light just gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. But here it is talking about the last days. And it's talking about specifically that there are seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Again, part of that increased activity. But here we see what that activity, how that activity is directed. What is the purpose of that activity? It says here that these seducing spirits, or these agents of Satan, go about as seducing spirits to try to get people to depart from the faith. And so part of the end time, there's an end time revival on God's side, and that is to bring multitudes to Jesus and healing and blessing. Well, the false move of God on Satan's side is a much satanic activity to get people to depart from the faith. You know, to get people away from God. And now, let me help you when it talks about depart from the faith. Of course, Satan would like no better. If you're a passionate Christian, you love Jesus, you read your Bible, and you're witnessing, you're tithing, you're working in church, you're just doing all the wonderful Christian things, Satan would love nothing better than to get you to backslide and turn away from Jesus. But he's going to have a hard time with some of us. I mean, he can huff, he can puff, he can say this or that, and you just yawn and you just praise God in front of him, and you just make him one frustrated enemy. And so when it comes to his ideal to get you to depart from Jesus, he's going to have a hard time unless you're a very weak or wishy-washy Christian. He has no place in us. But there's another aspect that we failed to see, and this is something that the Spirit of God has showed me. He said this, did you notice that these seducing spirits try to get people to depart? Now, first of all, to depart from faith, and if they can't get them to depart from the faith, that these seducing spirits will try to get them to depart from their appointed place or where they belong. Now, this has been happening really since the pandemic, COVID-19. And I truly believe that wasn't just a natural thing, but that was a spiritual thing. And a lot of stuff started happening since then. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, since that happened, have not come back to church, you know, and done a lot of things. And so, in one sense, that has caused people to depart from what? Church. And we know what Jesus said, that sheep without a shepherd are what? Scattered. And we understand that there is safety and security for a sheep under a shepherd in the flock. There's feeding, there's protection, and so forth. But if a sheep or a lamb decides, hey, you know what? I don't need that shepherd. I don't need that flock. I'm my own sheep. I'm my own lamb. I can be just as good a sheep or just as good a lamb without that shepherd. I can still baa, you know, being away from the flock. And they leave and they say, ooh, I'm free. No curfew for me. No rules for me. You know, I can do my own thing. And there is a feeling of liberty. The Bible says the wages that sin is pleasurable for a season. But, you know, nighttime comes. It's cold. Purr. All of a sudden, you know, the howls of the wolves and so forth. And the lamb, the sheep's all alone. And that's nothing more than a wolf would like, to get a lamb or sheep separated or to depart. And so there's been a great influx of the work of darkness to get people to depart. If not departing from the faith, depart from their church. Depart from the man and woman of God. Depart from their divine connection. And really, there's a lot of things. These spirits will try to get you to depart from your spouse. Yeah. And we're going to look at this. And again, No, remember, he can puff, and he'll try to blow your house down. When you know the word, you know that how he operates. He has no place in you. And so the Spirit of God told me earlier last year, you know, concerning these things that I've been teaching, telling the body of Christ. And he said this, tell my people to watch their thoughts. And he said this, if they will watch your thoughts or guard their thoughts, Satan has no place in them. How many of you know that's good news? That Satan cannot have access. Satan cannot deceive you. Satan cannot cause you to depart from the faith, unless he can access your mind and get you to think wrong. And that's all I want us to look at and see how to counteract his attacks. And so let's look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And so just to watch your thoughts. Isn't that simple? Isn't that easy? The devil can't do anything to me if I keep this thing up here clean and recognize this is what he wants access to. And we see it so clear. And we're going to see his strategy. and identify his strategy. And you do need to know this. The devil's never going to come knock at your door. Knock, 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 and you open it, and he's all red, and he has horns, he has a pitchfork and a tail, smell like sulfur, and says, I'm the devil, I've come to steal, kill, and destroy, let me in. You know, not one of us says, okay. No, we shut the door, you know, we lock it, you know, we get our guns or whatever we need to do. There ain't no way. If he comes on that front, you know, he has no entrance. And so he has devices. He has schemes that in order to appear one way. And if that same devil kind of put makeup and just said he was a salesman and wants to make you rich and so forth, that maybe he can knock and try to convince you with some sweet words to let him in, then maybe there's more of an opportunity. But you got to understand, Satan's never going to show you his end game. And so if we understand his end game and how he tries to come in, we can shut the door on him immediately. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent or the devil beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now this is key. This is how he works. This is how seducing spirits work. It all starts in the Garden of Eden. And if you understand how it worked in Garden Eden, we can see how he works today. Adam and Eve were in paradise. They were in the appointed place. They were perfect. Together they were perfect. They were created perfect. They were in a perfect place. And so here they are in God's appointed place and just walking in the blessings of God. I mean, you know, when you're in the right place, you're walking in God's grace, there's blessings that belong to you. And so here, all is well in paradise. And then the snake shows up. And notice the snake doesn't address himself as the devil. He says, I'm the devil. I've come to steal and kill and destroy you. I want to make your lives miserable. I want to bring sickness. I want to bring a curse. I want all of you to go to hell. And so just do what I say. You know, you would have no access to him. But notice that the serpent starts talking to Eve. And he says, hey, you know what? There's a tree over there. Yeah, I know about tree. God said, don't touch it. Don't eat it. Don't go around it. You can eat freely of every fruit of the trees in the garden, but not the one. Well, you know, yeah, that is a nice tree over there. But you know, the real reason why God doesn't want you to eat it is because if you eat it, it's going to make you wise. You're going to stand between good and evil. You'll be more like God. And what he did is he painted a picture to Eve why biting, I'm just going to call it the apple, was so enticing. Satan didn't tell her all the repercussions of her actions if she bit the apple. Just how enticing, how much you want to do this, that he is goading her on, if you understand that. You want to eat. Oh, it's so good. And when she looked at it, this is, man, it is a beautiful piece of fruit. Yeah. One desires to be wise. Who doesn't want to be like God? And reason, yeah, we want to be like God. Why wouldn't we want to be like God? Why wouldn't we want to be, know good and evil? God would want that, wouldn't it? And as she focused on that, and that led her to act on that. And she ate, and that caused the fall. Okay. Now, look at this scenario. Everything was perfect, and they were in their appointed place until a suggestion came to them. And that's how Satan works, by the power of suggestion. And again, it wasn't that, hi, I am the devil, and if you eat this, I mean, sickness, disease, even when you have kids, it's going to be painful. I'm going to bring the curse. No, not the pain. Painting the what will happen of the disobedience. He's trying to get them to disobey by making it look like it's the right thing to do. Okay. How many Christians left church that they just got focused, they thought it was the right thing to do? Regardless of what the Bible says, what God has told them, they are convinced through suggestion it was the right thing to do. And this suggestion caused them to depart from grace. This suggestion, they acted on it, caused them to depart from paradise. All because of a suggestion, a thought. You need to understand this about thoughts, that thoughts are seeds seeking a harvest. And the devil, if he wants you to do something, he isn't going to paint you a picture. I want you to backslide. I want you to do all that. He will plant thoughts in your mind. And he'll bring a little element of truth. The devil spoke truth. Yeah, God said that. Yeah, knowledge of good and evil, but you just kind of twist it a little bit in order to get you to bite the apple. And if you could be a big boy and a big girl and recognize that thought and who is bringing that thought, and you refuse to think that thought, Satan won't have any place in you. What if Adam and Eve, when Satan was enticing them to eat and said, hey, God said no, that means no, get out of here. We'd be in paradise today. But she listened and listened until she acted. Anyone that leaves church prematurely didn't wake up one morning and said, you know what? I'm not going to church anymore. I'm done with church. No, suggestions. Suggestions over and over. And those are seeds. And they're watering and they're growing in their mind until it grows and they act on that suggestion. You know, same thing in marriage. Same thing in marriage. Satan can't get to your marriage unless he can get to your head. I remember one time I was just minding my own business. A lot of time I don't know why God speaks to me in the bathroom. Honestly, he does. My staff can tell you, we don't know what to do. I just go to the bathroom and I come back. I have the answer. And many times God just speaks to me. And one time I was just getting ready to go to the office and he said this, know this, whenever you have an accusing thought about your spouse or another person, you're listening to a demon. Yeah. And of course, I thought he was talking to me. And I'm judging myself. I'm sorry, Lord. And I'm thinking, you know, well, what, you know, I try not to do that. But I thought he was about me. But then when I went to the office that day, I had a married couple came to me. They were having trouble. And when they sat before me, you know what came out of the mouth? He said this. He's doing this. He in pointing the finger to him. And she, you know, he's pointing the finger to her. And I says, oh, that's why he told me. But that is a powerful truth. And listen, Satan came down. And he's called the accuser of the brethren. And he is going to accuse a lot of things to you. And if you listen to that suggestion, you are partaking of that accusing spirit. And if you'll continue to listen to that, you'll bite and act on it and will cause you to depart from something that God ordained to be in your life. All right. I'm glad I'm here to help you. There are seasons. It said this, that Satan tempted Jesus. So it's nothing wrong to be tempted to have bad thoughts. It's only what you do with those thoughts. It said that Satan tempted Jesus, and since he had no place in him, he departed from him for a season, King James Bible said. That means Jesus just answered every suggestion, just put Satan in his place, and Satan left and came back to see if the fish are biting some other time. I've had seasons where I get up and immediately I have accusing thoughts of my wife. I'm just saying, we're happily married. Happily married. Now, I'm not going to ask a show of hands of how many of you married folk have had accusing thoughts. Now, again, I'm in ministry because Satan knows if I don't have a good marriage and good home life, I'm not qualified for ministry. So he'll come against the family. And so if I were to ever leave my wife or we'd ever have problems, my ministry would be ruined. And so he knows that. And so, but he can't ruin my ministry. He can't ruin my marriage unless he plants a thought. Now, the reason I'm doing this, I'm helping some of you. Yeah. And you got to realize that is the devil trying to get you to part. A house united cannot stand. And that's how he works. An accusing thought. It's a seed. Will you water it? Will you meditate on it? Will you act on it? Or will you spit that thing right back at him? And so, I mean, there are seasons where bam, bam, bam. Now, this is where I'm going to help some of you. That when Satan tempted Eve, there was an element of truth about the apple that made it enticing. Some of the accusations against my wife, some of them are true. Yeah. But it's painted in a different light. Because it's an accusation, Satan is trying to paint it with the element of truth to get me to bite the apple. Now, let's give you some illustrations here. I know you have mice in Erie or wherever you're from, right? You have mice. And you want to get rid of your mice, you set a what? Mouse trap. Now, when you set a mouse trap, you just don't put a trap out there and hope that the mouse would come to the trap and a curiosity and says, I wonder what this lever does. Boom! Oh, I'm dead. No, you got to put a big piece of cheese, a piece of bacon or peanut butter. I'm getting hungry right now. And see, it's a trap. But if it was just a trap, no mouse would be stupid enough to go there. But puts something real, edible, and enticing to get them to ignore everything else and just look at that little nibble. And if that mouse bites that cheese, hasta la vista. Now, maybe you're a mouse lover. You don't like the illustration. But I know you know about fishing in Erie and wherever you're from. I mean, there's a lot of fishing going on. You know, my daddy taught me to fish. That unless the fish are very hungry or very stupid, when you let down your line with a hook, you ain't going to catch no fish with a hook. You know, no fish, unless he's a dunce, says, oh, look at a hook. Oh, let's see what this does. But man, you put a big, juicy earthworm on it, and you hide that hook and starts doing a pole dance. They gather around, and they're looking. Wow, this is enticing. And they bite it. They depart out of the water. And that's what Satan does. He will use an element of truth against someone and accuse that someone to you. And if you recognize that and say, no way am I biting that, he has no place. How many people departed from churches because an accusing thought about the pastor, about a church member, an accusing thought? And some of it may be true. An element of truth. You know, maybe you were, the pastor said something that was offensive to you because it's a sensitive area. That may be true. And all of a sudden, a thought, a thought, a thought, a thought. And you meditate on that thought, and you meditate on that thought, and it builds, and it builds, and you can't help it. And then finally, you say, you know, that's a very bad pastor, a very bad church. Then what am I going to do? Depart. You can do that with your spouse. You can do that by an accusing thought. And we must not dismiss accusing thoughts. Turn with me something very interesting. How much time do I have? Okay, now that is not, that's 25 minutes already, or is that a countdown? Oh, don't do countdowns. All right, I'm training them, so because I don't know what you set it at. So turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 14. Book of Acts, chapter 14. So I have no idea. Let's see. I got this. How much time I have here. All right. Mine isn't going either, so praise the Lord. Acts 14, 1. Now, this is what we're going to see is something pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. 14:1. And it came to pass in Iconium, they went both together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude both of the Jews and also the Greeks believed. So they're preaching the word, great things. These are men of God preaching, and miracles, and stuff is happening. But notice in verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Something great and something grand is happening here. And people came and affected the, notice what it said, the minds. That means they said, well, I don't like this. I don't like that. This is wrong. That is wrong. And even though God was doing something, these suggestions cause people's minds to be infected. Evil means against the brethren. The meaning, they didn't have these bad thoughts until the suggestion came, and when they started suggesting, those thoughts began to harbor in their minds. Now we're going to look at this. That's why you got to be very careful who you listen to. Anyone accusing people and accusing a pastor, preacher, they are under the influence of evil spirits, and they're trying to get to you. Okay. Aren't you glad I came here? Okay. Chapter 14 is what I call the power of the mind chapter of how your mind can be easily affected if you don't know how Satan works. Okay. Now, in 14:8, it says this, and there was a certain man impotent in his feet, being a cripple who in his mother's womb, who never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly behold him, and perceiving he had faith to be healed, and said with a loud voice, stand up on thy feet, and leaped up and walked. And the people saw what Paul had done. They lifted their voices, saying in the speech of the Laodicea, mine has it syllabized, and so it's split up, whatever. Now notice this, the gods are come to us in likeness of men. A miracle happens. They said, these are gods. And verse 13, the priests of Jupiter brought garlands and gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. So a miracle happens. God is moving. And they're saying, oh my God, these are gods. God has sent them. They were going to even worship these guys. God. And of course, in here, Paul is saying, hey, we're just men like you, and we're here to tell you the message. Now get this. This is what's happening. Verse 18. So he tells them, hey, we're just men. You don't worship us. God is doing these great and wonderful things. And with these sayings, he scarce restrained the people, and they had not done sacrifice to them. Now look at verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, threw him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Do you see how crazy this is? Miracles. God is moving. Everyone's happy. Someone suggests it's something, and their mind gets affected against them. Here another miracle comes. Someone is raised up. They're going to worship and say, these are gods. Then someone suggested some things are mine, and they stone Paul. The power of suggestion. How God can be doing something great and grand, but if Satan gets in your mind, you'll count it as bad, evil, and man, we got to depart from this. And make God's man the problem, make God's church the problem, make my husband the problem, my wife the problem, my boss the problem. When brothers and sisters, guess what? You're the problem. Your mind. I cannot stress enough, the Spirit of God keeps saying, watch your thoughts. Any accusing thought is of the adversary. No matter how tempting, how truthful it is. Like, have you ever been in a spat with your spouse? It's all right, I'll raise my hand. You know when you're in a spat with your spouse and say you're not getting along for something, you know what happens? All of a sudden, an overwhelming love oozes up from with you. And all of a sudden, you have these most wonderful thoughts. Oh, he's so cute when he's angry. I just love it when she slams doors and her nostrils flare. You know, she's been doing that for years and years. He's been doing that for years and years. And it just blesses me all the time. How many ever experienced that? When you're in intense fellowship, now all of a sudden there's an anointing that comes on you. And all of a sudden, thoughts start coming. And it isn't, oh, how wonderful, how beautiful. He always does that. She always done that. All the time. And accusing. What is that? You invited a demon to fellowship with you. The Bible says where there's envy and strife, there's confusion, every evil work. Because you're in strife, you're in disobedience, it allowed demons, strife is barbecue to demons. They smell strife and argument, contention, and they smell it out and they come. And because you're in strife with your spouse, you invite him in and he wants to help you. And he'll suggest things. And they all have an element of truth. Yeah. Maybe he has done it for the 20th time. Maybe she always does that, but it's accusing. And if you're stupid enough to listen and to speak and act on those things, guess what? You're doing the will of demons. If you say the accusing thoughts that the demon gives you, or you start slamming doors and you keep meditating, that's a seed to cause you to depart. Yeah. All up here. It's all in your head. Okay. Yeah, aren't you glad? You got to understand, this is spiritual. It said their minds were evil affected. I remember some years ago, I had someone come to the office and made an appointment with me. And they came to the office and during their meeting, they were rehearsing all the problems they had with these leaders of our church. Just rehearsing it to me. Now, before that meeting, you know, the leaders that she made reference to, they were great and wonderful. Never did any ill and were always a help. They had my heart and were very solid in the church. She had half an hour of meeting, just said about this and that and so forth. And didn't know the time was up, and this person left. And usually I have about 15 minutes before another appointment. I just sat there. And you know what happened? I started to have bad thoughts about those leaders. And, you know, and it just came to me like I was starting to get angry at those leaders. And I'm sitting there, thoughts, and I'm fuming about these leaders. And I thought, wait a minute. What's going on? What is going on? And I said, oh, I know what this is. Satan, I command you, get out of here in Jesus' name. And guess what? Those leaders are back to being wonderful. Yeah. But when you're under a seducing spirit, your perceptions are wrong. When you're meditating on accusing things, you're going to see the worst in everybody. When you're meditating and accusing things about your spouse, you're going to see the worst of your spouse. You know, and you're under that, and every little thing, you're going to see the worst in thing, and it's spiritual. That's what it's saying here, will cause people to part. And that's why it's very, very, you have to be very careful who you fellowship with. You know, if you're having marital problems, you shouldn't be talking to other people that have marital problems. Yeah. Because there's no solution there. You're under, everyone that's having, they can't help you. You know, and we see this in church. Someone has a problem with the pastor in church. They start talking to other people that have a problem with church. And they start talking and then invite others. They just don't. They're not mature enough just to leave the church and say, you know, it's personal between me and God. No, they start speaking, start spreading, and getting people's minds evil affected. See, Satan didn't depart from heaven by himself. He got as many as he could. And so be careful. Anyone who has your ear, you work somewhere, and they start speaking evil about your employment, where you work, be careful that they're being influenced. And I know this isn't a very cheery message, but it's going to be imperative. Imperative, you understand. Say this, any accusing thought that comes to my head is of the devil. And I will not listen to any accusing thought that he sends my way. Yeah. It's that easy. It's that easy. And so Adam and Eve fell by a simple suggestion. And thoughts have to be dealt with. I remember an account that Kenneth Hagin tells. It's in this book, I Believe in Visions, that Jesus appeared to him and was teaching about the devil, demons, and demon activity. And Jesus was teaching about demons and so forth, and then gave Brother Hagin a vision of a woman in ministry. And Brother Hagin recognized this woman in ministry. And Jesus narrated the vision. See, this woman was a child of mine, and in ministry with her husband. And so here, they're in paradise. Here, she had a great marriage. She had a great ministry. Things were going well, like what? Adam and Eve. And then in the vision, a little demon came, sat on her shoulder and says, you know, you're a beautiful woman. And she was. But you've given up so much of this lowly life of Christian. In the world, you could have had fame, fortune. She was a great singer. She was beautiful. She could have done a lot of things in the world with her talent, but she was using it for the Lord with not as much recognition. And the devil suggested an element of truth. She was beautiful. She had great. She could make a lot of money in the world. That cheese, that worm to bite. But in the vision, she recognized it was the devil and said, get behind me, Satan. Guess what? He left. A suggestion, a thought. He can't make you do anything. He needs your cooperation. A suggestion, a thought. And get behind me, Satan. Resist the devil and he flees from you. That's how easy it is, folks. An accusing thought about your church, your pastor, your boss, your spouse, your neighbor, yourself. Yeah. Yeah, because he'll accuse you and say you're no good, and you know you always do that. There might be an element of truth to that, but don't bite the apple. Don't bite the hook. Satan is a liar. Yes, you say what God says about yourself, and so that demon would do it again and again. And every time she resisted the devil, and the devil had no place in her. But there came a time where she started listening to that suggestion, that little voice. And again, the devil doesn't say, I'm going to come steal your ministry, cause havoc. No, something enticing, something with an element of truth. And she began to listen to that voice. She said, I am a beautiful woman. Who doesn't want to think they're beautiful? You know, I do have a great voice. I could be making a whole lot more money. In the world, I could really be someone. And she began to entertain that thought, a suggestion. And as she continued to entertain that thought, she departed from her husband, seducing spirits to depart. The God-given marriage, she departed from it. She departed from ministry. And then she departed from Jesus. And in the vision, Jesus told her going to hell. Yeah, because it came a time where she said to Jesus, get out of my life. I want nothing to do with you. And she told Jesus to depart out of her heart. How did that start? By a little suggestion, a little thought. Thoughts are seeds seeking a harvest. And so, brothers and sisters, guard your thoughts. Guard your thoughts. Don't bite the apple. Don't entertain anything that accuses anyone, and especially yourself. Condemnation, guilt, you're no good. What is he? He's trying to get you to bite that. Get you to get into whatever he has for your life. But God has exceedingly great and wonderful things for you. Yes. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not sure when I started or when I ended. And so let's do this. We all from time to time have trouble with our thoughts. And how many know we know what to do with them? We know what to do them. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5, casting down every imagination. That means every thought that comes to your head, you're to say, halt, who goes there? And so is that what the Word says? Is that an accusing thought? You're not just to let your mind wander, but every thought that comes and say, is that God or is that not God? And you cast it, you bring in light to the obedience of Christ and say, hey, if that's not what the Word says, if that's not good and pure and holy, I don't think on those things. And so that no man can do for you. You must do that yourself. But I also know that there can be times when you're endeavoring with your thoughts. You're endeavoring to stand and stand and stand. But it just seems like you just can't shake that on you. That's thank God for the anointing. Thank God for help. And we've all been there. I've been there where I, thank God, I need help. You know, especially when God has something big and grand for you, the devil doesn't say, well, I guess I'm going to lose that one. No, he's going to do everything to keep you from it and so forth. But if you're here, you're here, and you'd like me to minister to you, just to minister the anointing, especially in the area maybe you're oppressed or there's a heaviness on you, or maybe your thoughts are racing and you just can't seem to get a stop to that. I'd like to help you. You know, I'm sent to help with that. Is there anybody that here that's them that you'd like me? Come on up. Come on up. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to minister my anointing. And if you're newer to my ministry, all I want you to do is have your hands out. I'm going to grab your hands, and I'm going to minister anointing. Now, when I minister to you, don't be praying. Just receive it. Just receive that. And Father, as you see these that are here, and Father, just bears witness the necessity of the message. And Father, I thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke and every assignment of Satan that has come to steal, kill, and destroy, to oppress, to hurt, to harass. In the name of Jesus, I break that assignment. I say, be free. I break that assignment. Be free. I break that assignment. Be free. I break that assignment. Be free in Jesus' name. I break that assignment 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 in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I break that assignment over your life. In Jesus' name, I break that assignment over you. In Jesus' name, I break that assignment over you. In Jesus' name, I break that assignment over you. In the name of Jesus, I break that assignment over you. In Jesus' name. Okay, hi. Is there anything I pray for you? In the name of Jesus, Father, I release the anointing into her life, setting her free in every way. I have your hands. In the name of Jesus, I break that assignment, and I proclaim liberty and freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we are on the winning side. We're on the victory side. And no matter what the devil does, you know, tries to huff and puff. Remember, he's like the Wizard of Oz. He may paint something big in your mind, but the truth is, he has no place in us unless we give him place. And man, if we keep the thoughts out, he has no place in us. So we certainly love you. Thank you for listening to me. And I believe I delivered the message. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Kelvin.